Mr. White, good morning to you. And is it Ms. Vike?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. Do either of you have any questions before we begin? Then, Mr. White, you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. It pleases the court, I believe this is a case of first impression that is confronting this court. This is the first time a factual pattern where an employer carefully conceived and executed a plan to terrorize its employees. That was its object. Now, under the statute, accidents receive exclusive jurisdiction in the workers' compensation court. This was no accident. They planned in advance to execute a situation that could lead to only one result, especially in the climate we face today, that their employees would flee in terror. They planted a body, covered it with blood, that Ms. Lopez had to step across as she ran in panic following the senior executive director of this employer. She was told, it's a shooting. Get out, get out. Now, one of the things that is incomprehensible to me about the appellee's argument is that this was some type of a safety drill. This has no more in common with a safety drill than walking into a theater and screaming, fire, fire, and then standing in front of the court saying, it was really in the interest of public safety. We exist in a time when people carry weapons concealed everywhere. This kind of behavior, the intentional creation of an intensely frightening, life-threatening event, cannot be covered by what the legislature stated in its language as to what constitutes an accident.
What the legislature provided a definition of accident.
Absolutely, right? Your Honor. And when we look at it, an accident happens suddenly. This did not happen suddenly. This was carefully pre-planned.
Well, it refers to suddenly and it refers to unexpected and unforeseen. And doesn't a lot of this depend on the perspective from which it's viewed? I mean, I understand, as you've alleged it, perhaps not sudden, unexpected, and unforeseen from the employer's point of view, but from Ms. Lopez's point of view, it was all of those things, wasn't it?
Yes, but Your Honor, historically, in every case, this court has looked at the statute from the employer's point of view. In, for example, Teague, the estate of Teague versus Crossroads Co-op, they put a 20-year-old into a grain elevator with an auger running, in criminal violation of multiple OSHA rules. But the court properly said, look, yeah, that's all true. But did the employer intend or expect that employee to be crushed to death? And the court said no. From the employer's standpoint, that was unexpected. And we have always judged this from the employer's perspective. Dutcher versus the Nebraska Department of Corrections. The employer put Dutcher into a self-defense class, not because it intended his knee to be destroyed in the class, but because it intended and expected Dutcher would learn skills that would prevent future injury. That was the intent. And we have always looked at it, always, from the employer's perspective. Because again, if you look at tort law, it is the intent of the actor that is measured, not the intent of the victim. And in this case...
Even when we're deciding whether something's an accident?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Let me give you an example. If I adjust the radio and I run through a stop sign because I'm adjusting the radio, I was negligent, but it was an accident. If I am late for work and I deliberately run the stop sign, but I collide with the car, it's still an accident. But if I see a person that I don't like and I drive my car into his car because I don't like him, that's not an accident.
So I understand you're arguing for a a specific intentional tort exception, correct? Right? That would, that you argue Teague didn't, Teague left open the door to
yes.
the possible recognition. And so what's the argument based on statutory language or anything else you would rely on for why such an exception should be recognized?
Because you have a constitutional right to courts for wrongs, tortious wrongs. If I'm assaulted, I have a constitutional right to a remedy. Now, the court, the legislature said, in the context of an injury in employment, you do not get to go forward to a regular court of jurisdiction if it is an accident.
When you speak of intentional, are you referring that the predicate act to the, I'll just call it the event that resulted in injury, the predicate act was intentional?
Beyond that even, Your Honor. I think Teague said, look, because they intentionally
Right. In Teague, we were saying that the employer's acts were intentional, but nevertheless, it was a workers' comp case.
Because the employer did not intend the death.
They intended to do things,
certainly,
but not that particular injury.
As just if I intend to run the stop sign because I'm late for work, but I hit a car, that's an accident. But if I intend to hit that car, that's a battery, that's an assault.
Your argument here is that the employer intended to have your client injured?
Intended to terrorize her. Absolutely, Your Honor. And we have an admission that's pled in the petition. Said, why didn't you tell my mom? You know, this is a drill. Said, well, we wanted to see how they'd act. Act when they're terrorized. The point was to terrorize. And there is nothing in here at all. A drill is an exercise designed to evoke disciplined, calm behavior to remove a person or a group of people from a perceived danger. 12 years, parochial school, we had drills for everything. The Marine Corps had nothing on those nuns. Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, every time there was a set of rules, there was an expectation, there was education on how you should behave, none of that here. None. And there can be none because there was none. What happened here was exceptional. And it is very limited. I understand the court does not want to open up floodgates. But in all these years, no one has credibly said the intent, the purpose of what this employer did was to injure its employees.
Does the identity and the place within the corporation of the people that are alleged to have carried this out matter? So, for example, if this wasn't executive director of Catholic Charities, but, you know, say a custodian that's concerned that we're not prepared, and custodian plans on his own this drill, is the analysis different?
Very much. For example, this court has found, and I don't remember the name, but a gentleman was going to sit in a chair, actually a police officer. One of his co-workers pulled the chair out, and he sat down and he crushed a vertebrae. Well, that wasn't planned by the employer. You know, like anything else, if you're going to go after a corporation, it has to have a decision-making at a level that binds the corporation.
So do we have that in the complaint here? I mean, we have some positions identified, but presumably Catholic Charities has a board. Do we know who's exercising what authority?
Well, I would tell you, Your Honor, what we have here is people identified by name and their position and their active behavior, and it starts with the senior-most CEO. And that's always been enough to buy a corporation. And the three most senior people are identified in their particular behavior directed at Ms. Lopez to convince her the next thing she was going to feel is a bullet ripping through her. Those have all been identified. And so the inferences to which we are entitled under the petition certainly should go our way. Now, if the Catholic Charities want to say, well, this wasn't authorized, then we need to go back and have discovery.
This went out on a 12B6, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Okay. That's the framework.
And so we are entitled to the inferences in the petition. And so that has been carefully pled, absolutely. May I save the remaining time for rebuttal? It'd be about 30 seconds, if permitted, Your Honor.
You may.
Thank you.
Ms. Vike, good morning again.
Good morning, Justices, Counsel. May it please the court. Again, I'm Heather Vike, and I represent the Appley Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Omaha. And for the reasons that are well articulated in the brief I filed in this court, the Appley respectfully requests that this court affirm the dismissal of Ms. Lopez's tort claim. And the reason being is that the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court and the Act has exclusive jurisdiction over these claims. Now, Ms. Lopez asserts in her complaint that her claims arise from injuries she sustained in a security drill on May 19, 2022, while she was at work for the employer Catholic Charities, and it admittedly was an active shooter drill. She alleges that she injured her back when she was fleeing the scene, the office, and she jumped over a retaining wall and had a back injury. She also alleges that she was diagnosed with PTSD and suffers from fear and depression due to the nature of the drill. And
so does it matter that you're characterizing it as a physical injury and as a footnote, mental injury, right? And opposing counsel flips that.
Well,
does that matter at the 12B6 stage?
Well,
excuse me.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Please.
You know, I think we have both, and we have to look at the complaint, obviously. And as I pointed out in my brief, it does matter in the sense that on appeal, as opposed to in the complaint, it is being characterized differently. There is a characterization that in the complaint that there was a physical injury independent of the mental injury. It didn't simply arise out of the mental injury is how it's pled versus how it's being alleged that this was a mental injury arising from a physical. And I don't think that ultimately is consequential to the decision of the court. And that is because, you know, whether it's mental or physical and whether it's ultimately going to be would be covered under the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court can't be known at this point because it's on a 12B6 motion that it was dismissed from the district court. We don't have a developed record as to how the injuries were related or occurred. That would be, you know, developed in the Workers' Compensation Court or in the district court if it was allowed to continue to develop that.
Physical and mental injuries both compensable under the Workers' Compensation Act?
No, I don't think so. If a mental injury is the only injury occurred and it was not related to a physical injury, then it would potentially not be covered. And Ms. Lopez is taking the position that if the tort claims are not allowed to go forward and she was forced to go to the Workers' Compensation Court, that there would be no recovery because she only has mental injuries.
But you're saying the complaint says otherwise.
Yes, exactly. I'm saying that the complaint says otherwise. And I believe that the case law says that if the allegations are injuries that are arising out of and in the course of employment, and there was an injury caused, then it must go to the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court to make that determination as to coverage.
So if the complaint had been framed to allege only a mental injury, not a physical injury, would we be in the same position?
You know, I don't think that that would change the analysis. If there's still an injury arising out of the course and scope of employment, I believe the Workers' Compensation Court would still have to analyze and jurisdiction of the Workers' Compensation Court
What if an employee is defamed in the course and scope of employment? What if the employee has property converted during the course and scope of employment?
Well, then there's other statutes that allow allow recovery.
But under your position, would they have to go to the work comp court if their injury happened in the course and scope of employment?
I don't believe in those cases that it would have to go through.
What differentiates defamation from a mental, emotional distress, for example?
Well, that might not be the case, because we had it was in the case of the Dutcher case, where there were allegations of wrongful discharge, and the court declined to take jurisdiction, say that jurisdiction was proper in the district court. That's what the Dutcher court said, and there's a quote from the Dutcher court that I think is particularly, that I think this, I don't think this is a case of first impression. What the Dutcher court said, excuse me, I don't want to misquote it, is that the court has consistently rejected arguments that a civil claim in district court did not arise from the workplace injury because it stemmed from intentional conduct and because the nature of the damages incurred were mental rather than physical. Under the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Act, the employee gives up the right to complete compensation. So I think that the court was saying, you know, it doesn't matter if it's mental or physical. It doesn't matter if it's intentional conduct. If it's an injury arising from the course and scope of an employment, then it has to go to the Workers' Compensation Court, and it is controlled by the Workers' Compensation Act.
So you've said it has to go to the Workers' Compensation Court first, which, are you suggesting that if the Workers' Compensation Court determines that no workers' compensation remedy is available, then the plaintiff could come back to district court?
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that those arguments should be made in the Workers' Compensation Court on appeal. And then I think that what is being requested here is a change in the Workers' Compensation Act, which is ultimately a legislative decision to expand the scope of the Workers' Compensation Act. That is the relief that is being requested by Ms. Lopez, as I interpret it.
So going back to my defamation hypothetical, your position would be that person can go to the Workers' Compensation Court, which would clearly be a fruitless effort because there's no defamation recovery in work comp court. And so if you're defamed in the course and scope of employment, the legislature has just eliminated any potential recovery?
You know, I don't know that the case has come before the court that has examined that, but as I think
pretty
about
sure it,
it
hasn't,
here,
but that's
as I think about it here, I think that that
it,
would
be it
may the case
have it,
unless...
I think it may have in other courts.
Yes, correct. And, you know, the court would have to analyze whether the defamation truly occurred in the course of employment. It may have arisen outside of the course and scope of employment.
Not in my hypothetical.
Okay. Then yes, I would agree with you that would be something that would not be covered under the Workers' Compensation Act.
Where in the Workers' Compensation statutes do you draw the notion that an employee would lose the right to recover for non-bodily injuries?
That they would lose the right to recover from non-bodily injuries?
Right, that exclusivity would apply to non-physical injuries.
I think it must come from 48-101, but respectfully...
But 48-101 refers only to... It refers to personal injury, and personal injury elsewhere is defined in the work comp statutes as injury to the body, correct?
Correct. And respectfully, what we have here is bodily injury. We have psychological injury, bodily injury arising from either the fleeing of the office, the injury to the back, or the psychological injuries arising from, you know, that set of factors, which I think are related to the physical injuries. So, you know, hypotheticals aside, what we have here, I think, clearly falls within the jurisdiction of the Workers' Compensation Court. So, you know, even if I'm incorrect about the hypothetical, that is very different than what we have in this case. I have 10 seconds left, so I will submit and I will request that the court affirm the dismissal of Ms. Lopez's claim unless the court has further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Do we have time for a rebuttal?
We do, Your Honor. 29 seconds.
29 seconds. Mr. White.
The appellee is asking carte blanche permission to deliberately injure employees and then seek protection from workers' compensation. Nothing the legislature ever said allowed that. Second, Zach versus Nebraska State Patrol. If you're mentally injured and then you take an unreasonable or any kind of physical activity that injures yourself, it's not compensable. In Zach, he saw horrible things. He went home and he took his life. In this case, Ms. Lopez saw horrible things, perceived herself in deadly danger. She did something she would, no rational person would do. She jumped over a wall to protect herself. She took a physical action and got injured because of a mental damage. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Counsel, that concludes arguments in Lopez versus Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Omaha. Hence, you're excused. And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Fountain 2 LLC versus Douglas County Board of Equalization. Justice Miller-Lerman is recused from this matter.